Dory, how is it that you are so good at all the stuff no one else wants to do?
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome to our top stories this hour. Fascinating response on the text line to the Google engineer. I'm very pleased that, you know, everybody in the country has been wanting to talk to this guy, and he has no Seattle or local connection, but very pleased that he wanted to talk with us. But man, it is, some people said it's the best thing they've ever heard on Cairo. Some people say that it's the worst. I feel like I was listening to Art Bell, George Norrie. Some people think that if it was sentient, that he was speaking to a demon, that we can't always assume that a soul or sentience comes from God. It's just all heavy, deep stuff. But I enjoy that. I like trying to spread my brain when I can. And he is a very smart guy. I mean, I checked out his credentials. And people who have written really important and extensive books and all kinds of research on this subject, they've all acknowledged that Blake, who we talked to, is a very bright guy. I have trouble wrapping my brain around stuff like that, but I enjoy trying. So anyway, I appreciate all the feedback, still going through all of it. But you can keep texting us at 888-973-CAIRO, 888-973-5476. All right, without his mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
An incredible piece of land, close in, very rare, is going on the market. Chateau Saint-Michel, the biggest winery in the state, has put its flagship Woodinville property up for sale. It's 118 acres, and they listed it with a real estate company, commercial real estate company, down in Dallas. There is no price. I talked to some commercial real estate people that I know this morning trying to get some insider information, and the best guess is that this may be a blind bid process, so we won't know the price until the transaction actually happens. But what are they going to do with 118 acres so close into Seattle and in that booming Woodinville community? It's zoned for commercial, residential, health sciences, office, could be office buildings. And on the east side, all of those are in short supply. I know that just a few blocks from Saint-Michel, there's a big development going in that's going to have a luxury hotel and townhouses that I believe are all going to sell for under $1 million, which is a price point that is very tough to come by on the east side. So maybe this will be another mega residential development. If I had the money, I think I'd buy the entire 118 acres, plop a little house right in the middle, and just have a big yard. Have a 117.5-acre yard. And I'll mow it every week on my rider mower. That's what I would do. Dory, if you had the money to buy it, you'd mow the yard yourself. Yes, that's my Zen time. I like mowing the yard. Of course, I don't have 117.5 acres to mow. But I like mowing my yard on my rider. I've told the story before, about a few years ago, when I looked over, I had my noise-canceling headphones on. And I look over while I'm mowing the grass, and my wife's laughing, and I take my headphones off. I go, what are you laughing at? She goes, do you realize what you're singing? As I was sitting on my rider mower, mowing a suburban lawn, apparently a little Steppenwolf came on. Born to be wild. And I guess I didn't look that wild sitting on a rider mower, apparently. It was enough to make my wife laugh. Okay, but why is this happening? Why is Saint-Michel selling the property? Well, one of the reasons that they've talked about is right now they have to ship the grapes that they grow here to their between their Eastern Washington vineyards and Woodinville. And they said that they make 1,600 freight trips each year, and that takes 75,000 gallons of diesel. Well, what's happened to diesel in the last 2 years since Joe Biden became president? Well, the cost has more than doubled, over $6 a gallon. On the East Coast, there are trucks, hundreds of trucks stranded by the side of the road because they are out of diesel now. As Joe Biden continues to destroy our economy. But when you take a business like San Michele and, you know, they're spending, let's say it was $3 a gallon a couple of years ago. So that'd be $225,000 a year. And now you're doubling that. That's just another huge expense that businesses do not want to absorb. And so for Jay Inslee and his gigantic gas tax and carbon tax here in Washington, Jay Inslee, hey, good job, Mr. Climate Change, Global Warming, Take Care of the Planet. You, Jay Inslee, along with your buddy Joe Biden, you've helped engineer situations where mostly green space, 118 acres, is going to be highly and most likely densely developed. I guess maybe you guys aren't so green after all when you have to live with the consequences of what you do to budgets, what you do to business and family budgets. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
Yeah, along the same lines, just in the last hour or so, President Biden has announced that he wants a gas tax holiday.
By suspending the 18-cent gas tax, federal gas tax, for the next 90 days, we can bring down the price of gas and give families just a little bit of relief.
Okay, do the people who write his teleprompter script, are they really that stupid? When gas prices have more than doubled because of Joe Biden, does somebody think that 18 cents a gallon, when gas is still going up, it's still going up, and it'll likely go up much more than 18 cents between now and the end of summer, which means that it will be higher gas prices, even if they suspend the gas tax. Hey, Nicole, I don't want to interrupt my little monologue here. Nicole,
yeah.
Were you just looking at your TV monitor?
Well, yes, but I believe I'm looking at commercials, so I missed.
Yeah, well, it was a commercial, but it was also a promo on Fox News. They just billed Tucker Carlson's exclusive interview with Google scientist Blake Lemoine.
Ha! We beat him
at 6 o'clock. Hey, Tucker, it's not exclusive. We beat you. We talked to him last half hour. Nice job, Nicole.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because he, I think, has been unavailable for a week because he was on his honeymoon.
Right.
So he just got back and got to all of his emails, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you and Chris Martin, who was filling in for you last week, Chris reached out to him and he said, yeah, I'm on my honeymoon next week. And then Nicole followed up on that. And we get the exclusive. Tucker, you're second, man. What's it like being number two? Anyway, I just saw that while I was talking. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the gas holiday. So Joe Biden wants this gas tax holiday, 18 cents a gallon. He wants to suspend it for 3 months. Barack Obama, your thoughts.
I know that we're having a debate right now about the gas tax holiday. I know how brutal this is on folks right now. And I know they need relief, which is why I've offered a middle-class tax cut for every American.
What about the gas tax
holiday? For working families so that they can deal not only with rising gas prices, grocery costs, but for us to suggest that 30 cents a day for 3 months is real relief, that's a real energy policy, means that we are not tackling the problem that has to be tackled.
Yeah.
We are offering gimmicks.
Scathing. Barack Obama says that Joe Biden doesn't tackle problems. He was Obama's VP for 8 years, and Barack Obama says Joe Biden does not tackle real problems and uses gimmicks. A scathing indictment of his vice president, now president. Unbelievable. So why are we in this mess? You know, I told you, California's $8 a gallon in some places now. There are some analysts who believe we will hit $10 a gallon this summer. This is crippling family budgets. I will keep reminding everybody, because Biden stood up and lied and lied and lied today, that this wasn't his fault. Here's a couple things he said today.
To the companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump, this is a time of war, global peril, Ukraine. These are not normal times. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump.
Oh, he's begging now. He's begging the oil companies. Are these the same oil companies that you're begging now, Mr. President?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
I guarantee you. We're going to end fossil fuel.
What about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipeline infrastructure?
Yes. Exactly.
No more, no new fracking. We are going to get rid of fossil fuels. I've argued against any.
Okay, yeah, I think I've made the point. He declared war on oil companies. He closed down pipeline projects, closed down fracking. He's closed down half the oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. He declared war. And American oil production dropped because of it, because Biden did what he promised he would do. And now he's trying to pretend like it's Putin's fault. You just heard that montage. Listen to what he said today.
I know my Republican friends claim we're not producing enough oil and I'm limiting oil production. Quite frankly, that's nonsense.
You said you were going to, and then you went and did it. And now gas is $6-7 a gallon because of it. He is the worst president in 150 years in America, and nobody even close. He makes Jimmy Carter look like a brilliant statesman in comparison. Man, Senator John Kennedy, I always like his perspective on stuff like this.
President Biden's energy policy is wind, solar, and wishful thinking. And that's not going to power the most powerful economy in all of human history. It's time for the games to end. We're in a hell of a mess here. Inflation is hitting my people so hard, they're coughing up bones. Our national debt is greater than our national output. Crime is way up. The border's wide open. Respect for our institutions is way down. 70% of the people think this country is headed in the wrong direction. And the economists who work for President Biden know this. The only way to get the price of gasoline down is to increase the supply. The only way to increase the supply of gasoline is to increase the supply of oil. The only way to increase the supply of oil is for the Biden administration to get its boot off the neck of the oil and gas industry. He hates them. I mean, he mocked them. He, the president, mocked them yesterday, and they're coming to the White House, and he won't even deign to meet with them. I mean, when somebody acts like they don't care, sometimes it's not an act.
No, it's not. He doesn't care about the American people. I don't think. I think that Google chatbot has more sentience than Joe Biden does. I don't think Joe Biden has any clue the ramifications of what the people who write his teleprompter copy are doing to the American people. And then in case you missed our top story from a couple of hours ago, what Jay Inslee is doing right now is absolutely despicable. He has sent out an email to financial supporters. I thought this was his last campaign. When he got his third term as governor, Inslee's not going away. He's either going to run for president or he's going to run for a fourth term as governor. He's the FDR of Washington. But he sent out a fundraiser email just a couple days ago that said the summer of 2022 will be one of blackouts, destruction, and death due to climate change. Hey, Andrew, you'd REM, End of the World. Could a lot of listeners on the text line suggested we bump out, if we do the subject again, which I am now, with The Doors, The End.
The Doors, The End. It'll be ready.
Thank you, sir. So Jay Inslee said, prepare for a summer of blackouts, destruction, and death. As the climate crisis worsens, we're facing the most extreme weather in history, Inslee claimed. I pointed out that there was a time where glaciers... Here, did I say it right? I got 50 texts from people. If there's no Z in glaciers. Okay, glaciers. I don't know how to say it. But there was a time where 1,500-foot-tall glaciers covered all of Seattle. That was probably the most extreme weather in history that created that. Or maybe the most extreme weather in history was when the glaciers retreated from Seattle. But no. Jay Inslee says that right now. What's the temperature out there? About 62 and cloudy. Oh, yeah. This is the most extreme weather in history, Jay Inslee claims. While Washington State faced the wettest start to the summer in over 70 years, other states are preparing for sweltering temperatures that will catastrophically disrupt our fragile electrical grid. That means blackouts, destruction, and death. Now, what Jay Inslee isn't addressing is the fact that there were 5 murders on Monday and Tuesday in Everett and Seattle. 3 children were shot earlier today in Kirkland, 17, 13, and 5 years old. A homeless guy was murdered at a Ballard encampment. A 56-year-old woman who was missing, her body was found in Ravenna Park. We're number 1 in the nation in catalytic converter being stolen. We're number 3 in the nation in car thefts. We're number 1 in the nation in property crimes. Does Jay Inslee talk about any of that? No. He says we're facing death from climate change. It's amazing. And he wants to remove dams from the Snake River that produce green hydroelectric power. And he wants electric cars that all plug in to the electrical grid, which in most of the nation is powered by coal. I mean, this is so nonsensical. It's so stupid. The thinking process is one of just pure stupidity. But he's fundraising off of it. I don't know, man. This just might be the end. So Jay Inslee predicting death, destruction this summer. Buy yourself some ramen. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend.
That's Joe Biden's, or Jay Inslee's message. What an uplifting governor. At a time of record inflation and illegals muling fentanyl up here so they can kill hundreds of your citizens, and Jay Inslee's predicting apocalyptic global warming. It's just, I gotta laugh because it's just so clownish. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then... Oh, yeah! We got some updates on what teachers are upset about in school and how it's going to affect your children. That is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, for the second straight day, I am calling a little bit of an audible in this segment, because the Dory Monson Show can exclusively present some breaking news here.
The Big Lead, breaking news.
As you know, the United States is the first country on Earth to be injecting an experimental vaccine into infants.
This is a very historic milestone, a monumental step forward. The United States is now the first country in the world to offer safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 6 months old.
First in the world. Is that a good thing? Jay Inslee tweeted, good news today for the many families who have been waiting for the opportunity to vaccinate their young children. Washington Department of Health will begin working to supply health care providers. I mean, why is this good news if it's completely unnecessary? And if we have no idea what the long-term ramifications of injecting this into a six-month-old would be. So the question that the Dory Monson Show has been trying to get an answer to since the beginning of the week is, do kids really need this? So we asked the Washington State Department of Health how many children in Washington State are dying from COVID. Now, we went to the data dashboard on the Department of Health website. All of that information has been scrubbed from the website. It used to be available. It's no longer available. So I went to the CDC website, and it is an extensive, voluminous website of data that the CDC has. Hundreds of pages of documents. And to get down to stuff for Washington, next, takes forever because they don't let you fast forward to it. But I did. And according to the CDC, no child under the age of 15 has ever died from COVID in Washington State. In the 2.5 years that COVID has been a thing, no child has ever died in Washington State, according to the CDC website. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, no child has been even hospitalized in Washington State. All of that data has disappeared from the State Department of Health website. So we've been trying to get answers from them. How many kids have died? And I will tell you, they've answered us. We just got it. It makes me even more suspicious of what's going on. It makes me more firm in my convictions that something really funny is going on. And I don't mean funny, ha-ha. So what we've been asking, I'm going to read to you just the email exchange here. So Nicole first wrote to them and said, we'd love to talk with somebody before noon. This is a couple days ago. We'd like an interview with somebody from the Department of Health. They said they couldn't schedule somebody to talk with me. And we said, we'd love to talk anytime this week. We want consistent data regarding deaths from COVID of children 0 to 5 years in Washington State. I want to find 0 to 14 years. And then they asked if they come on the show, and I'm not blaming them for this. I mean, it could be an inexperienced PIO. But the PIO said, do you have a list of questions for the interview to submit? And we don't do that. We don't submit questions, especially to governmental agencies, about what we're going to ask, because then they just pre-spin everything. And government should be able to answer any question that we ask of them. So they wanted pre-submitted questions if they were going to come on the show. And then we were told the PIO is out, and they tried to get us an answer. Okay. So after a lot of persistence, a lot of back and forth, here's what we have just received from the Washington State Department of Health. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for your patience. There have been 5 COVID deaths in Washington in children ages 0 to 5 in Washington State thus far. And then they gave us a list. 4 confirmed with COVID on the death certificate and 1 suspect. That is not dying from COVID. Because I've told you about the games the state of Washington has been playing to inflate the COVID numbers. They were listing people who died from gunshot wounds. And they were tested positive for COVID when they were at the hospital. So they were listed as COVID deaths. They've been doing that. People who died from cancer. I talked to the kids of a woman who died from cancer, and they put COVID on the death certificate because she tested positive. They didn't even know she had ever tested positive. We don't have any proof that she tested positive. But when you say that 4 children confirmed with COVID on the death certificate, That does not mean they died from COVID. They tested positive and died from something else, and you can list it as they died with COVID. 4 male and 1 female. Okay. That's a relatively tiny number, but of course for the parents of those 5 children, there's no such thing as a tiny number if they've lost their child. But I'm talking about all the other parents who have to make an enormously consequential decision. If you're going to inject something that is still technically experimental, that we have absolutely no trial and error or any long-term consequences of injecting this into a 6-month-old baby or a 1-year-old or a 4-year-old. We're the first country in the world to do it. Why? Are we the smartest in the world? Or is there some collusion, some cabal between the pharmaceuticals, our politicians, and a media that refuses to ask questions like the ones that we try to ask on a daily basis on this show? Why would the media not talk about this? Why would nobody else in Seattle media inform their viewers and readers and listeners that the Jay Inslee and Joe Biden, they are pushing the injection into children who don't die from COVID and don't get sick from COVID? Maybe a little bit. Maybe they get a runny nose. If your kid is 3 years old and has survived up till now without any consequences, why in the world would you inject something into your kid? Save it for me. Save it for the old guys who might need the boosters. People have asked me, are you still going to get boosted? I've got, you know, the 2 vax and the booster, 1 booster. I don't know. The information is so fluid in all of this. I'm confident I made the right decision when I got vaxxed and boosted for me. But I don't know what the information is going to be. I don't know what new medical stats or data we're going to get between now and when I would think about another booster. And that's why I'm saying everybody should have facts and make the decision that is best for you, or in the case of parents, that is best for your child. But you got to have the facts. And I think the books have been cooked here. When they phrased it very specifically, 4 confirmed with COVID on the death certificate and 1 suspect. That has absolutely no positive correlation to having died from COVID. So the CDC, and again, the CDC website, I'm just trying to corroborate information here. The National CDC voluminous database says no child under the age of 15 has ever died from COVID in Washington state, ever. We were ground zero. And so do you believe the CDC national database? Do you believe the email we just got that says 4 babies died with COVID, but not necessarily from COVID? So that is the information, and that is what we pride ourselves on here, that we're going to always try to provide you with information that you are not going to hear or get anywhere else. But whenever anything's appears to be getting buried, we should all be especially wary of that. All right, quick time out, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Man, lots of exclusive stuff. Go check out the Can Artificial Intelligence Be Sentient interview. The interview everybody in the country was trying to get. We got it at 1:30 this afternoon. So go check out our podcast after every show. Let's count you down with our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Man, you know, Joe Biden says we're on the brink of an expanded war with Russia. He just said that again today. Talks about what's happening in Ukraine. Could there be World War II? I tell you, Russia has soldiers who are ready to fight if that ever happens. China has been creating warriors that will fight if we, God forbid, ever go to war with China. Either of those countries, they train warriors. Let's see what the United States Navy is doing. They just released this promotional video. This is an actual U.S. Navy video just released.
Hi, my name is Johnny, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, and I'm Conchi, and I use she, her pronouns.
And we're here to talk about pronouns.
What is a pronoun? A pronoun is how we identify ourselves apart from our name, and it's also how people refer to us in conversations.
Using the right pronouns is a really simple way to affirm someone's identity. It is a signal of acceptance and respect.
If it's a signal of acceptance and respect, how do we go about creating a safe space for everybody?
That's a good question. A really good way to do that is to use inclusive language. Instead of saying something like, hey guys, you can say, hey everyone, or hey team.
Yeah, and
did I mention that Russia and China are training warriors to fight in the horrible proposition that we ever go to war with them? That's our United States Navy. Your tax dollars at work. Michigan's Governor Whitmer, she is the latest to reduce. I think women are beautiful, lovely. So proud to have a beautiful, strong wife and three daughters. And I think women are special. Governor Whitmer?
If you're a Washington homeowner, 2022.
What? That's an ad.
No.
What are you doing, Nicole?
Oh, no.
I did such a great setup there.
I know. That was so great.
Here, I can fast forward.
If you're a Washington homeowner.
If the reproductive freedom proposal fails, are you able to protect reproductive rights without that proposal passing if Roe v. Wade fails? What can voters do to help preserve our freedom of choice?
So we saw where we thought Dobbs was going to be headed, and this was prior to the draft opinion coming out publicly.
Mm-hmm. Come on, get
so
to it. Let me skip
it
out here.
So we looked to bring a lawsuit to protect constitutional rights of people of Michigan. So I brought a lawsuit on behalf of all the menstruating people in Michigan, 2.2 million,
Women are just reduced to their bodily function of menstruating because we can't call them women because nobody knows what a woman is unless you're a biologist. Menstruating, you know, somebody else used that phrase last week, menstruating people. And I said, well, if that's all we're doing, if we're reducing everybody to bodily functions, what's the one thing that unites us? Well, we're all pooping people. So why don't we just do that? Let's reduce everything to just bodily functions. No more men, no more women. Even saying menstruating is too exclusionary. We are all pooping people. One small step for pooping people. One giant leap for pooping people kind. Okay, and finally, I tend to get deep dark tans in the summertime, but I just found out from a liberal of TikTok that I have to do something first before I go out in the sun.
Hey, it's that time of year again where white people can't wait to get really tan. And y Latinos también, bronceaditos, quemaditos. If you're a white person, you can't wait to get super tan and you can't say Black Lives Matter and you're not an ally and you can't stand for your Black, brown, indigenous, people of color, friends, and family, then do everyone a favor and tanning is not for you. So thank you.
So if you're not a vocal supporter of a Marxist organization that wants to destroy the nuclear family, you're not allowed to get a suntan. But I'm the crazy one, right? Okay, John Carley and Sherry Elker show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here tomorrow. High noon.
Hey, Mom, I'm done with my assignment.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.